Welcome back. Good morning, Washington, D.C. Time to get up and at 'em. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio just after 11 a.m. on a Saturday, March 29th. This is D.C. Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond, 910 a.m., 105.1 FM, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. I'm on the go, so I use the Odyssey app to rewind every morning to 6 a.m. to hear the Sports Junkies. You got B. Mitch and Finley. Grant and Danny drive you home. Great overtime shows every day as well as play-by-play. And you can always get it for free on the Odyssey app. So the Washington Commanders, over under 10.5 wins. Mike Clay of ESPN says, Jaden Daniels is awesome. I'm not disagreeing with that assessment. I am, however, highly concerned about the abundance of red flags signaling an upcoming regression for Washington. For starters, the Commanders finished 12-5 last year despite a plus 94 point differential, which is more of a 10-win team. Second, Washington went 8-4 in one-score games. Those are two metrics which demonstrate how Dan Quinn's team performed above expectation in 2024. Throwing a defense ranked 19th in EPA, a much tougher schedule this season that features crossover with the AFC West and NFC North, and a unit that concluded 2024 as the fifth healthiest team in the NFL. You got plenty of reasons to suspect regression for the Commanders in 2025. Now, I'll start by saying this. Max, you know as well as I do, Vegas is always on the mark. There's a reason. The buildings are so big, the casinos are so tall, it smells like money. The house always wins. And at an over-under of 10.5, I'd lean under at just slightly at 10 wins. Or if I went over, I'm talking about 11 wins. I don't think Washington wins 12 games again.
It's a way tougher schedule this year.
It's a tougher schedule, but I'm going to break down his red flags in a second. But what I would say is, I've been telling you guys, my goal is 10 wins. My goal is playoffs. My goal is home playoff game. Now, to host a home playoff game, you got to win your division. The Eagles are going to win 10 games, at least. Maybe Washington wins a tiebreaker with them and wins the division at 10 games, but I'm looking at 10 or 11 wins. And I don't think it's a real step back if Washington gets to the playoffs and wins a playoff game but doesn't get back to the NFC Championship game. It's just so hard to do that. And there's other ways that I would measure success, like improvements from Jaden Daniels, improvements from the defensive side of the ball, other than just the wins and losses total at the end of the season. But in terms of Mike Clay's projection, which is a 8.2 wins for the Washington Commanders, that's his projection, 8.2 wins, I would break down all of his red flags and just completely argue against all of them. For example, Washington went 8-4 in one-score games. Well, why did they go 8-4 in one-score games? Why did they have so much success in one-score games? Because Jaden Daniels had the clutch factor. He was the closer this season in the National Football League. And the other thing that I think is true, and I'm not the only one that said this, you've heard this on the Team 980 and a 106.7 The Fan, this is probably the least amount of talent Jaden Daniels will have around him on the offensive side of the ball for the rest of his career. I mean, they had to completely derail the roster last year from the Ron Rivera era to the Dan Quinn era. Jaden Daniels is thrown to Noah Brown, De'Ami Brown, and a bunch of guys we hadn't heard of, like Olamide Zaccheaus. Now you're looking at a team that's got Deebo Samuel next to Terry McLaurin. And Zach Ertz is back. And Noah Brown is back. And they're going to get even more talented by the time we get to the start of next season, when we get through the NFL draft. So, yes, Washington went 8-4 in one-score games. I think there's absolutely a chance they could repeat that 8-4 record in one-score games, because the reason they won those one-score games is because Jaden Daniels was clutch. And it wasn't luck. It wasn't some rookie having luck. It was execution. It was the hard work that he put in. And the reason he was able to have the success right away was because of the experience of playing so much college football. Well, then you look at, all right, they were the fifth healthiest team in the NFL. And That is certainly a red flag that I think is valid, because you can't predict who's going to be healthy in the NFL. We could have had the Lions scenario in which their entire defense was injured, and there's no way we would have won 12 games if that happened. But that's why Adam Peters' goal for this offseason, I felt like, has been to double up at every position, to get depth for this year, right? They did an incredible job putting together enough talent on the roster to win 12 games, and now this offseason's been about, yeah, re-signing your guys that earned it and bringing in depth. And I think they've done a good job of that so far, and they're going to get better as we finish out free agency and get through the NFL draft. And so, yes, we were lucky to be the fifth healthiest team in the NFL, and if you lose Jaden, if you lose Terry McLaurin, if you lose Bobby Wagner, right, if you lose Mike Sainer still next year, you're probably not going to win as many games. But that's just such a lame red flag to point to in my mind, because you can't predict that at all. When you talk about, well, it's a tougher schedule because it features the AFC West and the NFC North, I'm going to push back completely, because you never know how good a division is going to be until the games are played. And in terms of the AFC West, I absolutely believe Denver takes a step back. I didn't think they were good enough to win 10 games this year. I don't believe in Bo Nix just after 1 year. You look at the Vegas Raiders, that is a massive question mark. Kansas City, Patrick Mahomes had a bad year. They won 15 games. I don't think they're going to win that many next year again. They're probably going to win 12 or 13. And the Chargers could be a team that had a ton of success this year but takes a step back. And then you look at, all right, well, we got to play against the NFC North. The Vikings were amazing this year. Like, the Vikings aren't going to repeat what they did with Sam Darnold, with J.J. McCarthy. I don't think Detroit, after losing both their coordinators, is going to be a 15-win regular season team. If I had money on one team to take a step forward this year in the NFC North, this past year, it would have been the Green Bay Packers. But they didn't really. They kind of took a step back. In a lot of people's minds. And then the Chicago Bears are an X factor. So if you're saying a red flag for why Washington is going to go from 12 wins to 8 wins next year, and you're pointing to how tough the NFC North is, I said, well, let's wait and see if the NFC North is actually going to be that good. Because I really think the race to make it to the NFC Championship in the NFC is Philadelphia and Washington. And then it's, hey, can Detroit replace their coordinators? Can L.A. bring back the band and make noise? Can San Francisco get healthy and turn things around? What's going on with Atlanta? Can they take a step forward? Can Tampa Bay run it back? I have way more confidence in Washington from what they did to have more success the second year of Jaden Daniels than those guys. Washington's had a great offseason. We won the offseason by simply bringing back Cliff Kingsbury. And then you look at the defensive side of the ball. So the defense ranks 19th in EPA. My whole point about hiring Dan Quinn has been, I have faith in Dan Quinn and his schemes and his staff to make up for the lack of talent on the defensive side of the ball. I almost guarantee the defense is going to go from 19th to 11th or 12th. As everybody gets more used to his defensive schemes. That was my whole point with hiring Dan Quinn. How do you get relevant quickly in the NFL? You build an elite defense. How do you do that with a defensive-minded coach who hires a smart offense coordinator? And you hope you don't lose the offense coordinator. Washington didn't. They brought back Cliff Kingsbury. Dan Quinn's defense will get better as he picks guys that fit what he wants to really run on the defensive side of the ball. I think they could have re-signed Jeremy Chinn. They went with a guy, Will Harris, who they think is going to give them probably more range to help out in stopping passes from being explosive plays down the field. They went with a couple of guys who we're calling elephant edge to make sure that they can stop the run. I have the utmost confidence in Dan Quinn in charge of this team to make sure that the defense improves. And with Cliff Kingsbury and Jaden Daniels on offense, and the fact that you traded for Deebo Samuel, you traded for Laremy Tunsil, I think it's definitely realistic to say the offense will take a step forward next year. Tougher schedule, yes. You got to stay healthy, yes. They were 8-4 in one score games. I think they can do that again. If I'm betting on the over-under of 10.5. Unfortunately, I'm saying 10 wins, and that's why Vegas is so smart, and they're always on the money with their lines here. But 8.2 really pisses me off and rubs me the wrong way here and makes me feel like you don't respect the job that general manager Adam Peters has done and the fact that Jaden Daniels is going to get better because of his work ethic and that Jaden Daniels left a lot of plays on the field his rookie year. He was fantastic. Didn't throw the ball away enough. Lost 2 or 3 yards. Those things add up, right? More times next year, you're going to see him, I think, extend the play and then just throw it away or extend the play, take off for 4 or 5 yards and have more positive plays than net negatives. But I definitely think Washington can build off of their 12-win season and NFC championship game, and the goal should be to get back to the postseason and try to host a playoff game. If you want to chime in, over 10.5 wins, under 10.5 wins for the Washington Commanders, what do you think of Mike Clay's red flags? I only see a lot of green for Washington. If you want to chime in, 1-800-636-1067. You're listening to AWOD on the Fan. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio. 1067 The Fan, simulcast Team 980 in Richmond, 910 The Fan, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. The Washington Commanders won 12 games, 2 playoff games, first NFC championship game in 30 years, and with a great season comes great expectations. And the fan base had an incredible run here this season. It was so cool to see, you know, people go to the back of their closets and dust off their old Brian Arakpo jerseys and put those on. And I've been wearing my dad's leather jacket from the 90s and, you know, these old hats that I haven't worn in years because this team is relevant again. And the future is now. And I love it. And I think that they've had a home run start to the offseason. I'd argue with anyone that's not giving it an A+. Seriously. Because find another team that got a left tackle and a freaking Hall of Fame wide receiver in Deebo Samuel. Like, Washington's been terrific, in my mind, in free agency, compared to the rest of the league. Do I want them to get more defensive players and an edge rusher? Absolutely. But compared it to the rest of the league, I don't think anybody's had a better offseason. Now, we were just talking about the over-under, and there are two tiers right now on the odds that are available. And I'd agree with the odds on these tiers. It's tier one and tier two, and then we'll talk about tier three afterwards. But Washington is definitely, in my mind, at the top of tier two. So tier one, all right, the teams that have an over and over under of 11.5 wins. Max, you've got the Eagles, the sure. Chiefs, mm-hmm. the Ravens, the Bills. No Ooh. Argument there, yeah. right? I mean, I think the AFC is so much better than the NFC. We're so lucky we don't have to go through those teams. All right, I mean, Kansas City, Baltimore, and Buffalo, and every year one of those teams is going to miss out on the AFC championship game. That's crazy. But those are the four teams with win over-unders at 11.5. You're not going to argue. I'm not going to argue that Washington is better than those four teams. But in terms of Tier 2, I think Washington's at the top. Tier 2 is Detroit Lions, San Francisco 49ers, Washington Commanders, Cincinnati Bengals, four teams at over-under 10.5. Ooh. The Chargers are right there, too. You've got several odds that I've seen elsewhere of 9.5 or 10.5 listed on different sites. But tier two, in my mind, is Niners, Commanders, Bengals, and Lions. And I think after Jaden went toe-to-toe with Jared Goff and the fact they lost both their coordinators, I think I would put Washington at the top of tier two right there. I think that's exactly where we're at. And then tier three, the over-under 9.5 teams are Packers, Rams, Texans, and
Take
Bucks.
The Rams.
And I think we're better than all four of those teams. So I think that we are right at tier two right there. And in terms of tier one, the only team from the NFC is the Eagles. So that's who we've got to keep up with in terms of trying to get back to the NFC title game. But we talked about Mike Clay's red flags. Would you take the over or under of 10.5 for Washington and why? 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. Tweet us your thoughts at AWOD Radio. If it's a good tweet, we'll read it on air. Let's go to Bernie in Potomac Falls. What's up, Bernie?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. So I'm very bullish that they're going to be over 10.5 because one of the things is you're talking about it. People are saying the regression to the mean because they got fluky wins last year. The Bears was not a fluky win. The end result was fluky, but they dominated that game for 59 minutes.
Yep.
And it was two fourth down pass interferences that by a player that's not going to be here next year. Otherwise, that's a W. Same thing with the Steelers game. If Ertz gets that completion, they win the Steelers game. And they dominated the Cowboys game here at home. So people are looking at pulling victories out at the end. I think that 11 is sweet. I do think the Giants will be better. But here's my only concern. I think that the worst thing for a defense is when the other team knows you have a good offense. Because everybody knows you're not going to be able to keep the Commanders down to 14. So they're going to go after 35 points every game. That's going to expose the defense. But otherwise, 11 is in the back. Thank you.
Yeah, good call, Bernie. And I agree with you on the one-score games. I don't think they were fluky. That's a great point about the Bears game. We walked them up and down the field the entire game. We were the better offense, defense, and special teams. We had the issue with the red zone. At that point, couldn't get into the end zone. And then, like you said, Chicago got so lucky to take the lead late. And ball don't lie. Ball don't lie. There's a reason God had that thing tipped into Noah Brown's hands, right? Miracle on Jaden Street. Washington was a better team. They deserved to win. And I think you could argue they deserved to win the Steelers game. I think you could argue they were very unlucky to miss the extra point against the Cowboys game. Their record in one-score games was 8-4. It could have been 10-2. Could have easily been 10-2. Let's go to line 4. We've got Johnny in Fredericksburg. What's up, Johnny?
Hey, well, thank you for taking my call. I think we're going to hit over on the 10.5 wins. I do think it's close. I think we do face separate divisions, and we won't take people by surprise next year. I will say, though, a lot of those close games, we had a lot of ones that we won. I think our toughest stretch last year was that three games. We had three games in 14 days. I don't care who you are. You're not going to win all those three of those games. We had the Steelers. We had the Eagles. And I think we had Dallas there at the end. I think it was Dallas. Yeah, like those games right there, I don't care who you are, even for a rookie. That was a tough schedule, and those were our three losses. So I think we're going to do a lot better this year, but not by much. Like, I think we're going to have a better team, but I don't necessarily think we'll have a better record, if that makes sense.
Johnny, do you agree with me that we are – tier two right now in terms of the tiers in the NFL?
Tier two, yeah. No, I think we are. There's very few. I think you're a little low on the Rams, though. I think Sean McVay is a genius, and they almost beat the Eagles. I think you're low on the Rams. So, but everyone else, I think you're pretty much spot on.
Yeah, no, you could be correct with that take. I mean, I was low on the Rams for most of this season, especially when there were rumors like 5 weeks in, they were trying to trade Cooper Kupp. There was the talk about McVay wanting to get in the booth. I definitely wrote them off, and then they almost ruined our season. I mean, they could have easily taken Washington's spot there in the postseason, how hot they got. So maybe I'm wrong about the Rams. I kind of think their roster is getting old, and that's why I've got Washington being better than them. But we'll see. I mean, maybe Davante Adams has a great year for them. Stafford, I do like Kyren Williams and Blake Corum. So could be wrong about the Rams, but definitely do feel like Washington can take a step forward. Let's go to John in Newburgh. John, you're on the Fan with AWOD.
Hey, how you doing, AWOD?
Good.
Hey, I just wanted to thank you. A couple weeks ago, you called into the Junks and you were busting chops about the negativity and about the Commanders, and I appreciate you doing that. You made my day when you did that, sir.
Well, thank you, John. I always love calling into the Junkies. Nothing like the rush I get after calling into the Junkies on a morning.
Well, let me tell you, I appreciate you doing that. And also, too, Adam, you got to do me a little favor. You got to wish the best to Benjamin St. Juice now.
Okay. I don't know if I can do that. I really don't.
I don't know if I have any
juice left to root for St. Juice.
I know last year you got so mad you were throwing stuff around the studio. Max was ducking. he was a nice guy. And
the thing that pissed me off about Benjamin St. Juice, John, was I let Linnell Willingham convince me that he got LASIK surgery and was all of a sudden going to be Richard Sherman. I let Linnell Willingham change my mind about St. Juice, and I believed in him, and Benjamin let me down.
Well, you know, it's like with him in Forbes. you know, those guys were never coached. I mean, you never saw Ron and Jack talking to them. And, right. And I feel kind of sorry for him for that, but let me also mention, too, that I think we'll go over 10 wins. And I think we're at a good advantage point because we have to play the Eagles. And they're the best team. So everything we do is going to be, you know, with them. And another thing, Adam, real quick, have you noticed how ever since we spanked Detroit, it's like nobody talks about them?
Oh, yeah. That's a great point, man.
I mean, have you noticed that? I mean, nobody talks about Detroit anymore.
No, they were the hottest thing around town.
I know.
Right?
But ever since we spanked them, it's like they're not even mentioned.
Right.
And it's just wild. But anyways, thanks for taking my call, and you have a good weekend, sir.
Yeah, good call, man. Love that point there. Yeah, I mean, Detroit was the hottest thing around. There was nothing that smelled bad about them. And then all of a sudden, Washington spanks them, and it's like, ooh, something stinks in Detroit. Are they going to lose both coordinators, take a big step back? Now, I still think, like, over-under for Detroit, I would definitely take over 10.5 wins there. I think they get to 11 or 12, but don't think they get to 14 or 15 again. But I love what John said about how Emmanuel Forbes, the Henderson State Jews, didn't get good enough coaching. And that goes back to my point that I believe in Dan Quinn and Joe Witt Jr. to improve Marshawn Lattimore once he's fully healthy. I think you're going to get a better version of Marshawn Lattimore. I think you're going to see Mikey Sainer still take steps forward because of their coaching. Same with Noah I. I think the defense as a whole, you know, it's another year of chemistry for Bobby Wagner and Frankie Louvu playing together. I do think whether or not we've done enough so far to improve the talent level on the defensive side of the ball, just another year of understanding their schemes and their style of defense will help out the team. And then we got to get an edge rusher. I mean, That's an obvious one right there. That's why I think that's what will happen at number 29 overall. Do you think Washington will hit over or under 10.5 wins? And what do you think about Mike Clay's red flags? Do you agree or disagree? Washington, according to championship odds, is tier 2, just behind the Eagles, Chiefs, Bills, and Ravens. And you know what? That feels so damn good to say. We're right on their ass, right behind the Eagles in the NFC. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. I'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM. Love that I get to wake up early on a Saturday morning, talk about the teams that I love most here in Washington, D.C., and we're talking about the Commanders. And that over-underline set at 10.5. If you're just tuning in right now, I said Tier 1 is the four-team set at 11.5 wins. Eagles, Chiefs, Ravens, Bills. We all know how much better the quarterback position is in the AFC. And really, the coaching, I think, as well. But in the NFC, it's the Eagles above the rest. And then you look at Tier 2, it's San Francisco. Now, that's an interesting one because they have to stay healthy. And Brock Purdy's going to have to take a step forward. And I'm not sure that he can. This might be just who he is now. The Bengals, another NFC team. And the Detroit Lions. Now, you could convince me that Detroit will have a better regular season than Washington. But if we just beat them in their house, I think we could beat them again in their house in the postseason. I want Detroit again in the playoffs for the Washington Commanders. What do you think? Over, under, 10.5 wins. 1-800-636-1067. Let's go to Mark in Landover Hills. What's up, Mark?
Great show, Adam, as usual, buddy.
Thank you, man. How are you doing today?
Hey, man, I think they're going to be about the same, if not better. And, man, don't let these people get under your skin that think they're the amazing Kreskin, because they are not. Every year is different in the NFL, and it always will be. And they've made definite good picks during the offseason, and we still have the draft to go. So let me tell you something. My man Branch Rickey said it best, Adam. Don't forget him. Luck is the residue of design, and apparently their design is pretty good. And if the people on their team keep working like Jaden, they will have success, Adam, and you and I will have a smile on our face at the end of the season one more time, buddy.
Mark, would you consider it a successful season if Washington won 10 games, the Eagles won 10 games, we won the tiebreaker over them, got a home playoff game, but lost in the first round? Would that still be a successful season to you?
With a new regime, Adam, and playing hard, anything can happen. I would be let down a little bit, but it still would be success. You cannot be like all these other people in life or in everything now that expect instant gratification, because I don't remember that happening that much in an 11-man team sport. Sometimes it does, but it's pretty fluky, Adam. You know, you just have to keep playing and practicing hard, put those hands in the dirt like our friend Doc says, and keep it going and let the chips fall where they may. These people that go around and think they've got it all figured out ahead of time, that's why our world's in the shape it's in, especially in sports. You know, they're procrastinators and get paid to do it, so they have to do it. But they're correct some of the time, but usually all of us, even you and I, aren't right all the time, and they certainly aren't right all the time either, Adam.
Good call, Mark. Appreciate you chiming in. Here's why I would consider that a success, and I enjoyed doing the show this year more than any other year. I've been doing radio since I graduated in 2015, and this was by far my favorite year on the air, my favorite year as a Commanders fan for my entire life. You have all the success, you get to the NFC Championship game. But in preparation for the NFC Championship show here on 910 The Fan, I mean here on 106.7 The Fan, I watched every single Commanders playoff game for my lifetime. Max, I was born in 1992. That didn't take very long, Max. It didn't take very long, right? 93 season, I think it was 96 season, 99, 2005, 2012, 2016, 2020. Bunch of losses. The reason I bring that up is that's 32 years of being a fan and like 6, 7, 8 playoff games. Like, success to me is just making it into the postseason. That's a success. That's a home run. That's a slam dunk. I will sign up for making the playoffs every single year. And then maybe eventually I'll become jaded like Steelers fans who are trying to run Mike Tomlin out of town every single year because mediocrity isn't enough for them. And they consider making the playoffs and losing in the first round mediocrity. I do not. I've seen the worst of the worst. I've been through hell and back supporting this team through 4-win seasons, 5-win seasons, 6-win seasons, and seasons where we're just above 500. And so success to me is the postseason. Success to me is when 18 franchises are either firing their coach, firing their GM, looking for a new quarterback, or just pissed off because they don't get to watch another football game. That's what I sign up for. 17 regular season games. You give me one extra. You give me one extra week of juice. One extra week to wake up and get fired up to watch football on Sunday. That's a success. Success changes your expectations. And this was an incredible year. 12 wins. And we got so close to the Super Bowl that we felt like we could taste it. Right? And I think you could argue that Washington played better against Philadelphia than the damn Kansas City Chiefs did. But to me, success is just advancing to the postseason. And if we keep advancing the postseason, I think eventually we'll break through. But we have got to get back to the playoffs year after year after year. That's what the goal should be. And if you want to take it a step further, I think it should be to win the division and give these home fans something to cheer for in their own stadium. Yes, the season ticket holders pay for, you know, 9 regular season games, 8 regular season games. Give them one more opportunity to flock to Northwest Stadium, to tailgate, and watch their team play. One extra week is everything. That's success to me. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. Welcome back. What up, what up? It's AWOD here on DC Sports Radio. 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980, 910 in Richmond, and always available on the go. With the free Odyssey app, you can call in 1-800-636-1067, or you can tweet us your thoughts at AWOD Radio, at 106.7 The Fan. If it's a good tweet, we'll read it on air. Matt says, AWOD, I don't think Washington will take a step back. Depends on team chemistry. I think the Commanders can go 10-7 or 11-6. That's why it's a great line. Can Washington win the Super Bowl with the upgrades they have made in certain areas, especially DB, wide receiver, and offensive line? That's a question. Should winning the Super Bowl be our goal every year? Absolutely. That's why you play the games. If you want to chime in, 1-800-636-1067. Yeah, I do think that we can take a step forward from the moves the Commanders have made so far. And I think just like this season was, the success for Washington depends on the success of Jaden Daniels. And I don't know why you wouldn't put your money on him right now. Guy's got work ethic. Guy's got drive. They added the talent level around him by adding Deebo Samuel. Brought back his best friend, his weapon across the middle, and Zach Ertz. You're going to keep him healthier. And you're going to give him more time in the pocket with Laremy Tunsil. And the improvements on the offensive line. As you kind of killed two birds with one stone there. Moving Coleman to another position and bringing in Laremy Tunsil. You fixed up your offensive line. And most importantly, Cliff Kingsbury is coming back. If Cliff Kingsbury didn't come back, I think you could argue that maybe Jaden would regress a little bit. But as Zach Ertz talked about, they're not going to start at the ground floor anymore. They're starting on the 12th floor because they won 12 games. And they brought back Cliff Kingsbury. And most of the pieces on the offensive side of the ball are still there. And I'm still believing in Brian Robinson and Austin Ekeler to help out in the running game and be more impactful this year. So it's not just the running game is all Jaden's legs. And like I've been telling you, I have the utmost confidence in Dan Quinn and Joe Witt Jr. to make sure that the defense takes a step forward, or a big step, or maybe just some little steps. And little steps could be maybe they just force a couple more turnovers to get the ball back a couple more times to Jaden Daniels. And that could lead to more wins. Did they get a little lucky in one-score games? I mean, yes, they won a Hail Mary. They won 5 straight games on the final play of the game. But I think that was a product of the offense that they were running being clutch. I mean, you could say the same thing about the Chiefs. Were they lucky? No, there's a reason they won 17 straight one-score games. Because of Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid's offense. And I think you could say the same thing about Jaden Daniels and Cliff Kingsbury's offense. In the final drive of the game, Jaden didn't have to make a lot of the times the most difficult throws in the world. The schemes from Cliff got people open. They won like 3 games with the exact same play of sending Zach Ertz in motion and then cutting back across the middle of the field right in front of the linebacker, right in front of the safety. Jaden just worked on the VR headset a million times and knew that if he got that look, he was going to be able to find Zach Ertz or fake it to him and fire it into Jamison Crowder. I mean, the reason they had success is because of the hard work that Jaden put in, and he's not going to stop. Not at all. And I'm so excited to see the improvements that he can make in just one offseason. A full offseason here where there's nothing that's going to change. It's the exact same quarterback room. It's almost the exact same teammates he'll be throwing to with the addition of Deebo Samuel. This front office has done a great job to limit distractions and just let Jaden get to work. It would have been a massive distraction if this team was searching for a new offense coordinator. I can't get over how massive that is that Cliff Kingsbury came back. That's going to be so important for Jaden's success and Jaden's development in the National Football League. Over under 10.5 wins. Phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. Max, you've been doing an incredible job running the ones and twos. What say you? Over under.
Man, it's tough because like that schedule is just going to ramp up. So it's the 10.5 is a great number. Credit to Vegas. I know my host during the week, Chris Russell, does not believe in anything Vegas has to say or believe that they know anything ahead of time. Sometimes I agree, other times I don't. This is one of those times where I think Vegas got it right on the button. It's going to come down to like a few plays throughout the season, which is weird to say. You
mentioned the schedule.
Yeah.
Did I not convince you that Detroit just simply losing both coordinators can't win 15 games again, and the Vikings got lucky with Sam Darnold to win 14, and the Green Bay Packers could take a step back?
I think the Vikings are a well-coached team. I think the Packers are another well-coached team that can put it together when needed. I still think that the Lions believe in Dan Campbell, so I still think they're not an easy out by any stretch. And then we'll see what Ben Johnson does with the Chicago Bears. I really like what they've done in this offseason. So the NFC North, I think, is still going to be very good. And then
is the NFC North going to be the best division in the NFC? I don't know.
I think ours will.
I think ours will, and I think the second best division could actually be the NFC South. I have high expectations for Atlanta.
Yeah, I could see that. But like at the same time, we're also going out to see the AFC West, which does not. There's no easy out in that division anymore. Like people talk a lot of crap about the Raiders. But that Geno Smith trade that they made this offseason, I think, is going to really help elevate them. They finally just got a guy that they don't have to worry about at quarterback for a little bit, for at least a season, you know? So I'm going to go under, but I think it's going to be around 9 or 10. That's where I think they're going to end up at the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really difficult line
to
actually wager any amount of money on.
Like the Rams, though.
You've been listening to A-Wide Radio. Did want to close out the show by going back to the topic that I opened the show with, which is just it's unfortunate that this year's NCAA tournament has really no Cinderella, no underdog story. I'm not sure if we will ever see a Cinderella story again, because Drake was the best chance to have a Cinderella story this year. They were freaking fantastic. I saw them play multiple times. This Division II coach, Ben McCollum, brought his Division II guys with him, and they were so locked in as a unit, and they ran this incredible offense where they didn't force that many three-point shots. They got layups, and they got open looks at the basket, and they won their first-round game. They won their first-round game, and they almost won a second one. And their best player, Ben Sturts, is not graduating. But immediately, their coach heads to Iowa. He enters the portal. He's going to Iowa. The entire team's in the portal. That's why I don't think Cinderella will ever find her slipper again, because every time your team has success, everybody around the country is paying attention, and they have the ability to just pluck them up because they can simply outpay you. The new revenue share is going to be interesting because it will give Big East teams a chance to basically be in the P4. We might simply, Max, just be going back to the P5, because you got Big 12, Big 10, SEC, and then Big East will just join them and with the ACC. And the SEC, they're at the top right now, and congratulations to Alabama and Auburn and Florida and Tennessee. But with this new revenue share thing, watch, they're going to go back to paying players under the table. They're not going to take a step back just because they're only allowed to spend a certain amount of money. And so this is what we're going to have to get used to, an NCAA tournament that has 10-plus double-digit SEC teams, double-digit Big 10, double-digit Big 12. That's the new future. They're making it impossible for the mid-majors to compete. So, I mean, if you're a fan of George Mason, even a fan of Georgetown, even a fan of Maryland, your coach is leaving to go to the Big East because he realizes that's where the money's going to be. It's just tough to be a fan of college basketball. Coaches are not loyal. Players are even less loyal. Every single year is a new year. Your team lives one life. Hopefully they lived a good one, because you're going to have to get a program to recognize the faces and the names on the team for the next season, which is really disappointing because this has always been my favorite postseason tournament in all of sports. Appreciate everybody listening to the show. Go Commanders, go. I have placed bets on Alabama, so if you want to join in on me and root for them to take down the Dukies, Duke Blue Devils, you can. I'm Adam Epstein. Appreciate you listening to the show. Max, thanks for running the ones and twos. I'll see you next Saturday, bright and early on The Fan.